Hello, this is David Brim, and I'm the founder of Orlando Entrepreneurs. We are the hub for Orlando entrepreneurship, and our mission is to connect, cultivate, and celebrate our local entrepreneurs. We bring together our local entrepreneurial ecosystem to help impact our entrepreneurs, their companies, and our local economy. Learn more at OrlandoEntrepreneurs.org. Now over to Josh Wilson to get forward with our show.
Good day, fellow entrepreneurs in Orlando. My name is Josh. I'm your podcast host. I'm the show host today. And I'm just so excited to go around Orlando and find great entrepreneurs who are building incredible businesses and highlight them, lift them up in front of the community to show them that there are some incredible businesses and founders here in our backyard in Orlando, Florida. So on today's show, I have Clayton Mamily. Clayton, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Josh. And my name is Clayton Mamily, everyone. I'm the founder and CEO of Streamfluence right here in downtown Orlando in the Exchange Building. And I'm really super excited to be on the show and looking forward to it.
Yeah, awesome. So tell us what Streamfluence is. You're the co-founder, CEO of this business. Why don't you give us an insight as to what Streamfluence is?
Absolutely. So Streamfluence is an influencer marketing platform for Twitch.tv and YouTube Live. And I know for a lot of people that just totally went over the head. So Twitch.tv is the world's largest live streaming platform owned by Amazon, acquired back in 2013 for $1 billion. And it houses over 250 million monthly viewers. And what we do is we help brands who are often, you know, spending money on Facebook ads or Google AdWords or more traditional social media advertising navigate this new live streaming space, because it is very different. It's very much the Wild West, and there are a lot of rules that a lot of people don't know, and we help them not fall into the pitfalls in the day-to-day of the stuff that we deal with. So we got into this industry pretty early. I was the media director of Vex Gaming United, which was an international esports organization. And esports, again, is competitive online gaming, so both video gamers playing at the level that you might watch, you know, Tom Brady playing the NFL and things of that nature. And so I've been around the space for quite a while and been privileged enough to watch it grow into this absolute industry that it is now. And that really like led us down this path to live streaming and here, like, as podcasting gets more popular and influencer marketing gets more popular and live streaming gets more popular, we've only seen this industry just grow and grow. We're super excited to be at the very forefront of it. So
there's people who are listening in on this show who have no clue that people actually get paid to play games. Why don't you give us, dig into this a little bit, because, people are getting paid to play video games. Why don't you share, highlight what this means and uncover this, because this is crazy to some people. I love it.
Right. So video games are actually, and this is a fascinating stat that came out about a year ago, video games are actually the most shared activity in the entire world. More people have that degree of connection together that they play video games than any other activity out there. And so the fact that people watch other people play video games shouldn't be that surprising when you think about how popular the NBA is, how popular the NFL is. We love watching the highest level of what we participate in. You love watching Tom Brady play, you know, unless you're not a Pats fan or whatever, because he is the absolute epitome of what the sport could be. Same thing applies to video games. There are top players around the world and funny players and humorous players, and there's other reasons people watch, but that everyday video gamers and gamers want to watch simply because it helps them get better. It lets them see what their potential could be. And they feel that connection that, you know, man, like one day that could be me. You know, if I had really devoted my time to it, you know, in high school and college, like that could have been me. And they get to feel that connection and share that experience with the professionals.
So this is incredible. So there's a professional athlete right now playing a video game, a professional gamer playing a video game, and he's making money, he or she's making money, because there's an abundance of people. There's a whole group of people that are watching them live play against the best in the world. So it's like the Olympics of video games. And people are watching this live, and then their brands that want to help promote, sponsor activities. So the brands, talk to us about this, because this is a this is an ecosystem that a lot of people are unaware of.
Yeah, yeah. So just like slapping a sticker on a NASCAR car, or, you know, Tiger signing a $90 million deal with Nike back in the day, it's the same concept. You have this devotion from the fans, the loyalty that builds up to these professionals and these entertainers is really what they are. And as those audience grows, they become a much more attractive endorsement target for brands of all sizes and shapes. And obviously there's the obvious ones, like, you know, the people that make gaming headsets, like the one that you're wearing right now, or the ones that make video games. Let's say you're launching a new video game. What better way to launch a video game and grow awareness for it than by having a professional player, you know, leave the game that they love the most and move into a new game? That couldn't be anything more powerful than that to draw a new audience. And there's also your day-to-day brands that are, as these influencers, as we call them, get bigger and bigger and more viewership grows to their channels, why not have food and drink on their channels? You know, now you see Pepsi at play, you see Coke at play, you see Red Bull at play in these fields. You see Nabisco bringing snacks into the field. You see Snickers and Hershey bringing candy into the field. And, you know, what other endorsements could fit within that audience demographic that these professional gamers and influencers fit in? And that's what we see on a day-to-day basis, yeah.
Awesome. So you, how do you help this ecosystem?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are, to give you a sense of what the problem is and the problem that we fix, there are 2.2 million individual broadcasters on Twitch.tv alone. YouTube is about three times that size, but their live streaming component is smaller. So you can imagine you're a brand, right? And you've got, or a brand manager even, and you've got this budget that you have to deploy monthly to get out in front of people. And you go, okay, I'm gonna give Twitch a shot. I'm gonna give this live streaming thing a go. And you pull up Twitch and you go to the homepage and there's 2.2 million people and you're like, which one do I pick? So what we really do is help brands make that decision make sense. So we know Twitch. We have had all the data on Twitch since 2015. And we really know which influencers are good for which brands. And that way we can say, oh, you want to do Doritos. We know guys that already eat Doritos every day on stream. They would love a sponsorship if you sent them an entire truck full of Doritos. Oh, you want to do clothing and apparel. We know a group that specifically is perfect for that. And we're not just doing this on a one-to-one basis the way agencies would. We actually have a platform that can say, oh, you want to find 50 of those people. Okay, here you go. And that's where we really find that we fit in that space, is not only connecting you to the right people and making sure your brand and the values that come along with your brand match with the values and the personal brand of that influencer, but we can do that at scale, which is the harder part. So it's hard enough to get the match to know, okay, my brand's in the right hands. You know, I can trust this influencer. They're gonna do the right thing by me sponsoring them, and I'm gonna get, you know, some value out of this relationship. And then it's, okay, how do I do that 50 times over, you know, repeatedly? So that's the problem that we really solve.
So you're solving that for brands, but also for the gamers who want to get paid for playing a game and for eating Doritos.
Yeah, and actually we focus, the forefront of our focus is on the influencers and the content creators themselves, because, you know, the brands have tons of options. They can increase spend in other areas. They can, you know, choose to go with an agency that handles, you know, some celebrity for them or something like that. The content creators really have no options right now. And so what we do is we provide mid-level content creators, let's call that between 5,000 and 500,000 followers, the ability to monetize their channels effectively and also give them access to resources to make that jump from hobbyist or part-time content creator to full-time content creator. And you know, that's still a jump. It's still something that they have to do on themselves, and it's their hard work that makes it happen. But we facilitate and give them the tools to make that jump a little bit easier. just a little bit less frightful. And in that sense, there just aren't any resources for mid-level influencers because it is such a hard problem to solve at scale that the agencies that are dominant in the space, they operate in the top 0.2% of influencers. So what about the other, 99%? Or what about realistically the other 60% that can provide a huge majority of value to brands that would love to sponsor them if only they knew about them, if only they were able to communicate with them, if they were able to discover them, and that's what we do. So.
Okay, so how did you start building this business, right? So take us back to when you first got started. You were in esports for a while.
Yes.
Talk to us about when you made that leap to do this full time.
Sure. So I was the media director of X Gaming, which was an international esports organization. We had teams throughout Europe, throughout the US. We had one team in Southeast Asia. And part of my responsibilities there was not only securing brand sponsorships to send our players to events, but also organizing online interactions and engagements with our players that were branded pieces of content. And so that's where I really cut my teeth on the contractual side of it, how to take these gamers who are generally unscheduled, unorganized, and difficult to work with and really get them into, hey, this is a business we're running. We do have obligations to fulfill. And, here's the protocol you need to follow in order just to do that and stay within contract. And that evolved into my own company in 2015 called Loot Vault, which then evolved into Lethal Bet. Long story there, all of itself. But essentially, that was an online esports platform. And we quickly discovered when we were marketing that platform, we had a modest budget. I think we were spending something like $7,500 a month towards social media spend. And we knew our target demographic solely lived on Twitch. Like, if you could narrow down all of your potential customers in the world, like, we knew they were just, Twitch was it. Like, it was absolutely where we had to market. And when we did the rounds of the industry and we're looking at our options, we were like, wow, these are all pretty terrible. The ones that aren't terrible are $10,000 a month with at minimum, with a 1-year commitment. And we were like, okay, we're a startup. That's a pretty large fixed cost commitment for the next year. There's got to be something better than these options. And it turned out that the better option was to do it ourselves. And so we put together our own marketing processes, our own discovery process for influencers, our own vetting processes. It turned out to be a lot more work than we thought. We thought we were just going to, I think like a lot of people in this industry, like, oh yeah, I'll pull up Twitch and I'll shoot out a few emails and, we'll have some price negotiation and then it'll be over in like a week. So we had like a 0.5% return on our first email wave out to a couple thousand influencers. And these were people, mind you, that we've been in the Twitch space for quite a while and we thought were good fits for our brand. If you didn't know who would be a good fit for your brand, I can't imagine dealing with that. Or I can, because you do it every day. But it was a nightmare. And we were like, wow, this is super difficult. We really need to like spend time on this and figure out how to solve it well. And that's what we did. We took an entire year and we figured out how to solve that problem well. And at the end of the day, we were looking at our company and our marketing asset, this thing that discovered influencers and communicated with them and got them to get to a price negotiation quickly. We were like, wow, that's really valuable. What if we sold that to people? And that asset ended up becoming what is now Streamfluence and quickly overtook what was the rest of the company. And that's kind of how Streamfluence was born.
Nice. And tell us about your team that you have working with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're three co-founders. Our CTO, Taylor Harvey, our director of business development, Alan Lindsay. I met Taylor in high school. We went to Bishopmore Catholic High School just down the road. And there was a kid, tall, lanky kid, wearing a For the Horde shirt. That's a Blizzard reference. And I just kind of walked up to him and said, hey, do you like Blizzard games? And he was like, yeah, I do. And we've been best friends ever since. I'm a huge StarCraft player. So that started that relationship. We've started three companies together now. And Alan is his cousin that came out of Apex Systems and a large recruiting firm, actually one of the top four recruiting firms in the US. And he heads up our business development, and we've been working together ever since 2015. And we founded Streamfluence together in late 2016, and I've been working on it since.
Got it. And how's the business going for you guys? Like, talk to us about where you are at in business and where you guys are heading.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we really launched in January 2017. We were founded in December of 2016. And we quickly got into the Starter Studio program in downtown Orlando. So that was awesome. We got, you know, our first access to the value of mentorships and collaborating not just with mentors, but with other companies. And seeing what that was like. And we were in that program and demoed in May. And then we were really operating off of spreadsheets and sheer force of will for about 6 months there, really figuring out, you know, what parts of this process would be best to invest in? Where could we make technology fix these problems, and where do we need to retain the human aspect? So we spent 6 months doing that. We received a grant from the National Science Foundation to conduct research on influencer marketing and live streams. So that was awesome. We used that. We interviewed hundreds of companies from all sorts of industries. We interviewed thousands of influencers. And we really just learned so much in that 6 months, the first 6 months of 2017. And then we started building. And we started building in July of 2017. We had some early prototypes done in September. And then we were in like a closed beta. Really, everything broke every other day until really December 2017. And we launched open beta in January 5th of this year, 2018. And since then, we've taken on 40 brands. We have almost 300 influencers, reaching just around 10 million monthly viewers. And it's been really like explosive growth since the platform was launched, which is super validating because we knew we could make this work. We knew, you know, taking a brand, connecting them to influencers on Twitch, making it valuable to both sides. Like, we knew that part could work. Like, that part was a foregone conclusion. The question was, could we scale it? Like, could we really bring in as many brands as you could throw at it with as many influencers as you could throw at it? And so far, we think we're doing that. So, that's where we are, and it's been awesome.
So, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, listen to this. 40 brands, 300 influencers, 10 million monthly views. Okay. So the advertising world is moving and shifting at a rapid pace. Back in the day when I was watching Full House on TV, they had advertisements, right? Like, now people are doing advertisements online and online gaming. Guys, this is exciting. 10 million monthly eyeballs on these brands. That's incredible. Clayton, wonderful job getting that up and running. Since January, when you guys, you know, did your real launch. That's incredible. So I guess now's a good time to ask, like, how did you get those brands, right? So maybe get some advice and input to other entrepreneurs, because that's helpful. 40 brands, that's very difficult to do, and you guys accomplished that.
Yeah, so team is everything, and process is everything for your team. So we really put down a systemic way to qualify companies. And keep in mind, like as you said at the beginning of this podcast, very few people know what Twitch.tv is. YouTube, maybe. YouTube Live, probably not. So we had a big battle, and continue to have, you know, a big battle to face as we make these gains. And so what we did was we put together specific processes to qualify and then execute on brands, brand managers, directors of marketing, specific decision makers. And it's not about succeeding. It's about learning where not to try again. So we quickly learned, you know, we could sell almost any indie game that we talked to. If we talked to any independent game developer, they were, yeah, let's do it. And we quickly discovered that we couldn't do that, that wasn't our market, that wasn't the right way to go, because a lot of them are uncoordinated. A lot of them don't have specific budgets. A lot of them don't have a specific decision maker. Often it's a bunch of developers and they have a group decision around it. And that's not a repeatable sales cycle. And so we still work with indie games, but now we mostly work with publishers or indie games that have a designated marketer. So you figure out through this process of asking very repeated and specific questions, what are the exact characteristics of the customer that you're looking for? And then you stop wasting your time on the ones that don't have those characteristics and you focus on the ones that do. And you make little course corrections as you go along the way. And I think a lot of startups, at least I do a good deal of just mentoring and giving advice to startups around town as well. They're like, I have this awesome technology piece. It's literally made for everyone. And it's like, maybe, you know, you might be right, but who does it serve best and who does it serve most efficiently? And that's the actual challenge that you need to discover. So that's my piece of advice there on building that early customer base. And then of course, I mean, this is goes without saying, like, listen, once you bring those people in, forget everything you thought you were going to build. You know, it's good to have vision and to build out, you know, in a direction that you want to go. But at the same time, with what you already have, listen to what the customers say. And they'll often lead you to the feature sets or to the themes that will then bring you your next customer. And, you know, no one has their own problem. We all have shared problems. And so recognizing that and acting on those problems is the entire thing.
That's extremely wise. Thanks for sharing that. Now, you mentioned a few things as you were giving this piece of advice. One of the things that we talked about before the show is you were saying, don't build, right? So go into that, finish that sentence for me.
Sure. So this comes from, experience and failure and also a success that we've had recently. So experience and failure, the first company that Streamfluence came out of, we had this grand vision. It was a super intricate development piece. It was going to take 7 months to develop. We knew everything about it. Like, we knew exactly the cost. We knew exactly who we could sell it to. Like, we were like, we know this market, we can do it. So we just built it. And we MVP'd and it was like crickets, complete crickets. And it was like, but we understand the market and we get, you know, this is a need that they have. And it's a good timing for it. Timing is important. It was a really good timing for it. It was like complete crickets because none of our early adopters had any stake in the core development of the product. It was totally us. And of course we had talked to people and we had consulted with people and we had run interviews, but ultimately when it came time to build it, we were just heads down coding on it, just building it. And here we had spent so much time and so many resources building this thing that no one else had any stake in. And so with Streamfluence, we did exactly the opposite. So we took that marketing asset and we went out into the world and we said, is this something that you would get value out of? And you know, how much value could we provide? What's the best way for us to convey that value to you? And what's the best way for us to price it and figure out that part? And we didn't build anything. Like I said, we didn't build anything for the first 6 months. We just talked to people. We just did it in spreadsheets. We just did it through force of will. And the result was at the end of it, when we had, you know, gone through that pain, and I'm not going to say that was fun either, but when we had gone through that whole process, we had a bunch of brands and influencers that felt like they were part of the building process. And they had a stake in what was now this company. And this, it was more than that. It was no longer a company. It was a community. And we've had that feeling ever since. We have a whole program devoted to that. It's called the Network Streamers. And these are streamers that, you know, they don't get anything specifically special from us. We just give them that title and we recognize that they helped build what is now Streamfluence. And that's so critically important. Absolutely.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, you're building here in Orlando. Why did you choose Orlando? Why did you choose to, you know, continue building here? What do you really love about Orlando as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so I was born in Lake Mary, went to school here, went to a college at the University of Florida. Co-founders went to the University of Central Florida. I took a job here directly out of college back in Maitland. And I really, it's kind of interesting because I was really ready to move out. I didn't see a lot of opportunity in my specific field, what I was working on back then in 2014. But I knew I wanted to go somewhere else. And so it's kind of fascinating that we're still here. And the reason for that is because of you know, the Orlando tech community. And had we not gotten into Starter Studio, I think we would have been a very different company. And we would have gone a very different route because, you know, we were working out of our, we all lived together, the three founders. And I think that's also a critical point that I might talk about later. But we were working out of our home office and we were just kind of to ourselves. We would go to some entrepreneur meetups at, you know, UCF, things like that. But it wasn't until we got into Starter Studio, you know, started working out of co-working space downtown, talking to the other companies, going to literally every meetup related to tech and programming and entrepreneurship in Orlando, that we saw how many people were working on such cool frontier technology and such amazing, not just pieces of tech, but pieces of companies that were so vital to the community. And it was like, man, you know, there's a lot here. And it got us to a point where we felt like we couldn't leave and we didn't even want to anymore. And it was awesome. I mean, we had some fears early on with recruiting that we wouldn't get enough traction. And we opened up, I remember vividly in June, we opened a content creator or a content writing position in June. And I was like, man, I don't know if we're going to get anyone qualified or blah, blah, blah. And I think I put like $5 on LinkedIn for it. And we had 48 applicants in the first day. And they were all from Orlando, I think except for like two. And I was like blown away by the amount of talent that was looking to work for startups in Orlando. And I thought that was such an amazing, unexpected thing. And that's really kept us here. And I mean, now I can even speak to just the last 2 years, the community's come such a long way. And uplifting our own and kind of coming together. And, you know, it's definitely right now still a fragmented community. There's little pockets of people helping people. And I think we're very slowly but methodically and with good time coming together and really getting everyone linked in to the same circle.
Perfect. What do you as a CEO, as a founder, you know, here in Orlando, what do you need some help with? So the people listening in, they're getting an education right now and they're going, wow, this is really interesting. You know, Clayton, what do you need help with? So maybe someone in the audience could reach out to you and say, hey, I can help with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are raising a seed round. So I will shamelessly say that I would love to meet every angel investor in Orlando. I spent 4.5 hours driving down to Miami yesterday to go to an angel Miami Angel Investing Conference. And on my drive back, as I sat through three accidents on I-85, I was thinking to myself, you know, why is this necessary? There is, I know there is such a great amount of angel investors in Orlando. Why should I have to travel down to Miami, over to Tampa to meet the right people to invest in our company? I can't believe that that's the case. And so I'd love to meet every angel investor in Orlando. And as I give back to those investors I want to talk, I also am the curator for Startup Digest Orlando, the Techstars Startup Digest. And, you know, I do that totally on a volunteer basis, but we send that newsletter out to a couple thousand people every Tuesday. And I would love to, you know, promote you guys. Like, what are the sectors that you're interested in investing in? I guarantee you there's at least 1 to 5 companies working on that in the Orlando area alone. So I would love to meet with you, to talk with you about who those companies are, how I could get your name out, how I could get you know, information that would help the entire community. Again, we're kind of in a strangely fragmented small community. And we have the resources here and we have the companies here. And we just need to have everyone know where to go and know who to talk to. And I'd love to facilitate that.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, you mentioned some really problems that you see as a founder here, as a CEO building a business, is that you had to drive to meet potential investors when we have investors right here in our backyard. Right. So what your call to action is to have conversations with more investors, but then also to lift them up and put them in front of the entrepreneurial community. So if you're an investor listening in on the show, an angel investor, an accredited investor, and you're listening in on the show and listening to Clayton, he's saying like, there's some really great businesses that might really meet your investment hypothesis or thesis. Mm-hmm. You can reach out to Clayton, you know, directly, and he'd like to help you find the kind of opportunities that you want. I think that's brilliant. So Clayton, why don't we do this? Why don't you tell people where to find you and how to connect with you?
Absolutely. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Clayton Mamily. You can also follow our Streamfluence account on Twitter, at Streamfluence. And my personal account is at Colt Mamily. That's C-O-L-T, Mamily. And those are the best ways to get in touch with me. I'm also constantly downtown in the Exchange building. If you walk in, we're at the first desk on the right. So please feel free to walk in and tap on my shoulder. Those are the best ways, honestly.
Sounds perfect. And we'll put all of the links that he mentioned and the resources that he mentioned in the show notes. So if you guys are listening in, please be careful driving. But later on, you could go in and click on the links and then you could connect with him directly on LinkedIn, on his website, on Twitter. And maybe even if you're a gamer out there and you want to make some money gaming, reach out to Clayton as well. Hey, Clayton, thanks for coming on the show today. Had a blast learning about your business. I can't wait to hear all the awesome things that you guys are doing and watch you guys, you know, really take over the marketplace. This is exciting.
Thanks so much, Josh. I really appreciate the opportunity. And, I'm really looking forward to working more with you in the future.
Cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, fellow entrepreneurs and people in the audience listening in, thank you for listening into the show and learning about Clayton and what he's got going on. If you want to connect with him, just go to the show notes and click on one of those links and it'll send you right to his page. So until then, until the next episode, we'll talk to you soon. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening in on today's episode. If you would like to be a guest on the show or start up a conversation with me, Josh, your host, send me an email to josh@orlandoentrepreneurs.org. You can also find out more information on Orlando's entrepreneurial ecosystem, discover resources to help you start and grow your business, and subscribe to future shows by visiting www.orlandoentrepreneurs.org.